The opinions expressed on the following program do not necessarily reflect the views of KTXT, its management, Texas Tech University, or any living person. This is the Devil's Advocate.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1. You can hear us live on our streaming audio at theraider88.1.com. Check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/theraider881 and Twitter at theraider881. And I can hear Dr. K trying to interrupt me right now, but I am on a roll.
Is this Sean Pfeiffer or Josh Cook or Anthony Hall? I'm trying to figure out what's going on.
That would be Anthony Hall, okay. Former co-host of The Devil's Advocate.
So, hey, welcome to The Devil's Advocate with Anthony Hall, Dr. K here, coming to you live from the College of Media and Communication here at Texas Tech University. So Anthony, what's in the news today?
Well, we've got a couple of big things. First of all, the big healthcare debacle with Kathleen Sebelius coming out in front of the House committee and testifying and everything about
We're going to have a little fun with that in a minute.
Oh, that's going to be a lot of fun. Then we have the NSA spying on Angela Merkel.
Yeah, the big story out of Austin, the federal lawsuit. And
that one's my favorite. I'm really looking forward to that.
Hang on a second. Anthony, didn't you graduate?
Oh, no. They caught me.
It's the ghost of Anthony Hall.
Well,
I'm scared.
I've seen that you've been doing my show wrong, Kelly. I came back for revenge.
He's haunting the studios of KTXT. Actually, Anthony stopped in to say hi, and of course, we had to throw him in front of a microphone.
I wanted to meet everybody and make sure that everybody is treating my show right, and yeah. I have not been disappointed in Jordan Lejeune, Anna Lavis, and our other hosts.
Yeah, Caitlin Osborne's here for Media and Communication, Matthew Riley from Political Science. So,
very good people.
They're all queued up. They're loaded for bear. They're all lawyered up to talk about our issues of the day. But we had to have a little fun since Anthony popped in. So, Anthony, I heard a rumor. I want to know if it's true. Is it true that your voice is so deep because you have the biggest phone of anybody in the radio station? Is that true?
Well, I mean, I don't want to brag or anything, but it's about true. Just about.
Okay. So, hey, gang, welcome to the show. We appreciate you joining us. And Jordan, Caitlin, and Matthew, and Anna, you can all say hey real quick.
Hello.
Hello.
Very nice. They were all chatting with Anthony.
I think you guys missed this before, but Anna tried to speak, but her microphone was off. It was really funny.
I had an awesome one-liner, and then it didn't work.
Dang.
Dr. K, I can't tell you how happy I am that you're back this week, because last week Anna and I had a lot of fun, but I actually like Anna, so being obnoxious to her isn't so much fun.
That is gratifying.
I'm indifferent to you, so I enjoy yelling at you.
It's more authentic with me.
Exactly.
I get that a lot. Anthony did that all last year. I have to say,
sir.
I'm going to compare you to two of your least favorite things, Jordan, which are Texas Republicans. I knew that would sting. I tell you, I listened last week, and it occurred to me, I thought, gosh, I feel like I'm watching the Republicans be bullies to women, like Wendy Davis's filibuster in the Texas Senate during that special session. It was, but I wasn't too worried because, it's Anna and she's kind of up to it. So
I'm a woman. Hear
she's
me roar.
Dished out some concussions and stuff on the soccer field. Did she
Broken
hurt you
kneecaps.
Last week? I was a little concerned. I'm like, I don't know what's going to happen to Jordan when the
Is
mics
he gonna
are closed.
Walk out of this?
Yeah, I was a little worried.
But. Actually, when it was all said and done, Jordan looked at me and said, "Hey, you want to play on my soccer team?"
Exactly.
And I said, "All right."
Some high praise.
Yeah.
Yeah, she can take some punishment and dish some out. But anyway, we had a laugh.
I did hear her asking for dates. So, Anna, are you busy later?
Yeah, I mean.
Hey, now.
Oh, ouch. That awkward
but
silence.
You have so many Twitter followers.
There are a couple of open microphones in the studio because a couple people are about to leave. So, no, just kidding.
I'm out.
Okay. So we do have some stuff in the news, and we'll start off with, I mentioned this earlier, the federal lawsuit that was taking place in Austin, and actually the deadline was yesterday for a decision. So on Monday, this district judge, Lee Yackel, made a decision in district court and federal court in Austin about the new abortion law that came out of the special session. This is the thing that Wendy Davis filibustered over, and actually, should we start with a montage, or should we talk about it a little bit?
Montage.
Okay, montage is exactly on this topic. Let's go ahead and listen to this lovely montage, lovingly edited by Jasmine Moore for us.
Raw Politics tonight, the Texas State Senator that everyone is talking about, Wendy Davis, a Democrat, took a stand against a bill restricting abortions in the state. She took a stand and remained standing, talking for nearly 11 hours straight in a filibuster. She planned to go for 13 hours, trying to run out the clock on a special session, but the chair of the Republican-controlled chamber ruled she went off topic and the filibuster was cut short.
A lawsuit that challenges Texas' abortion law will continue tomorrow.
Demonstrators gathered outside the federal courthouse in Austin today. Planned Parenthood and other advocacy groups sued the state to block the abortion law Governor Perry signed earlier this summer.
This law restricts when, where, and how women can receive abortions in Texas. Those advocates argue the law is unconstitutional, but the state argues it will make the procedure safer.
The fight against the controversial legislation made Democrat Wendy Davis a gubernatorial candidate, although HB 2 eventually won passage during a special session.
When the Capitol debate got underway, both sides argued that they were the ones who were trying to protect women's health. But during opening statements, attorneys for the state admitted that the law was also designed to make it difficult to get an abortion within the framework of the existing federal law. Let it be.
There's many of us who feel strongly that the little unborn baby is an individual with the right to life at conception. We should protect it. This bill does not do that. This bill takes a step in that direction, but this bill does not begin to ban all abortions.
Lawmakers in Austin are expected to vote tomorrow on some of the toughest restrictions on abortion in the country. Earlier today, House Republicans passed a bill tightening restrictions on abortion doctors and clinics.
SB 5 would ban abortions after the 20th week of pregnancy and also effectively shut down most abortion clinics in Texas because it would limit abortions to surgical centers instead.
Now, the Senate vote on this is expected tomorrow unless Democrats delay past the midnight deadline.
Wearing her comfortable pink sneakers because she wouldn't be allowed to sit down for 13 hours. Texas State Senator Wendy Davis took the podium and took a stand.
Members, I'm rising on the floor today to humbly give voice to thousands of Texans.
I would hate to see other families denied the right to choose what is best for them. These decisions are hard enough without placing extra limits on them.
It's time for a leader who will put Texans first. That's the kind of leader I've tried to be. I got my start on the Fort Worth City Council. I didn't have a partisan affiliation next to my name, and I didn't govern with one either. When people had the same idea about something that they wanted, but different ideas about how to get there, I'd ask them to sit down at a table, work with respect and an open mind, and hash out a solution. Because real leaders know that real problems deserve real solutions.
Wendy. Is anybody else feeling a little teary after all that?
Just a bit. Just a bit.
Gotta love Wendy. Paul McCartney.
Yes, I have to say, Dr. K, that montage was instantly better than anything you ever did.
He was dancing because, over here doing a little piano.
Because it had the Beatles as its background.
Yeah, you know,
The Beatles are so cliche, though.
Yeah, thank you.
They're awesome.
Apparently, conservatives don't like the Beatles. I loved that montage. It was one of my favorites, partly because I didn't have to do it, but partly because it was really well done.
We might have another screaming match today because...
Because you're here?
No, because you don't talk bad about the Beatles in my presence.
Oh,
unless
okay.
You're Anna.
There are certain
because
things...
Because they spend so much time in the
Technically,
Louisiana
you guys aren't in the same room,
There
so.
Are certain things I hold dear in my life, and the Beatles are one of them.
Okay.
I don't know. I like the covers of the Beatles better.
Whoa.
Seriously?
There are so many things wrong with you right now. I'm going to give her the benefit of the doubt
and say I think she's just trying to rile Jordan up.
But the Beatles is one of those things that I'm so serious about that even when people are joking, it makes me angry.
Abortion.
I think you're like that on all topics. Yeah, it's funny because Jordan, I think, is less impassioned about abortion than he is about the Beatles. But that's okay. We'll move back. So this lawsuit, you guys all remember, and it was well represented in the montage. Wendy Davis's epic pink sneakered stand, literally, for 11 hours in the second special session. No, first or second special session.
It was the first.
And it ended the bullying Republican men in there. Said she got off topic. They shut it down. And then the crowd took over. And, of course, minutes into the second special session, the lawmakers came together and quickly passed that. The law took effect. I'll get into some details in a minute about it, but the two sides basically are, one said we're going to improve safety for women who have to get abortions in Texas.
God forbid, right, Jordan?
Yeah, the other side said it's going to shut down two-thirds, possibly more, of the abortion clinics and dramatically restrict access for 20 or 30,000 women in Texas. And so those were the two sides of the debate. Something tells me we have people on those two sides of the debate in the room.
Really?
Yes, the problem is it doesn't actually do anything about safety, because safety wasn't really a concern at the moment. That's why the Texas Hospital Association came out against the bill. That's why the Texas chapter of the American Association of Obstetricians and Gynecologists also came out against the bill. So if the doctors are saying that we don't need these measures, why should we listen to a bunch of idiotic lawmakers?
Well, I feel that, you know, women, if they want an abortion, they're going to find a way to do it. And a lot of women, they can't afford to cross state lines to get an abortion. They can't afford to go to fancy clinics. And so they're going to go to alternative, archaic, medieval methods to have an abortion. And that isn't safe for them personally. Like, it could cause death or infection and anything like that. And so, you know, they're saying that they want to do this for safety, but in reality, it's really hurting the women that they're trying to help.
We sure don't want them going to Louisiana.
I have such an easy solution. If you're going to get an abortion, number one, let's decide to do this before 20 weeks, right? I mean, 20 weeks is a very long time. That's 140 days. Like, my gosh. Well, get it done then. Number two, get on a bus. And if you need a ride, call me. I'll come get you, and I'll take you to the proper facility so that your life is safe.
I'm so glad you said proper facility, because I'm going to repeat it again, because it needs to be repeated. The only reason that this bill was passed was so that Rick Perry's sister can make money, because the company that she's in charge of will sell these centers to doctors and it will make her money. That's the only safety Rick Perry cares about, is his sister's checkbook. That's the only reason this bill passed.
I think a lot of people are scared, you know, they think that a lot of abortion clinics aren't safe, you know, that there's a lot of like back alley abortions, like in Pennsylvania, Kermit Gosnell, you know, he did a lot of really illegal stuff with abortion, you know, trying to abort fetuses after like so many weeks, and ended up killing a lot of women because of his practices. And I think that just scares a lot of people, thinking that a lot of like clinics that don't have, I guess,
hospital
specific requirements, that they're scared that, you know, all abortion clinics basically equal murder for women or something.
Well, Caitlin, it's a good point. Let me give you the details. There were four items in the bill that passed, and two got overturned. So the four items that were in there, these are the four in order, and then I'll talk about the lawsuit. Abortion providers had to have admitting privileges at hospitals within 30 miles. They had to change the way they used abortifacient drugs. So there's a way that folks give, this is like RU486, that drugs are administered by the way they are allowed to be prescribed by the FDA. There's an off-label use that can be used that is considered a more optimal way to confer an abortion, and that's the way physicians are wanting to use it. That was banned also, that physicians couldn't go off-label with the use of these abortifacient drugs. The other two provisions were a ban on abortions after 20 weeks, and abortion clinics have to meet the same standards as ambulatory surgical centers by next September, a year from now. Those last two provisions, the one Caitlin was mentioning, the 20 weeks and the ambulatory surgical center safety rules by next year, those two are still in place. They were not overturned. The first two, the admitting privileges at hospitals within 30 miles and the off-label use of the abortion drugs, those are the ones that got overturned. So essentially, wow, really? Really? On a public
affairs
show?
Sorry, you guys are letting him talk a little
phone.
Too much.
You
hey,
speak
okay.
for yourself.
Okay, you can yell. But anyway, I just wanted to fill folks in on the details. It is a complicated issue. Great story for in one of my classes for a print article. Anybody who's heard me give that speech, because of the complexity.
Because everyone in your class listens to this.
Everybody in my
show.
Class listens
Hell,
to him.
I'm in your class and I don't even care right now.
Exactly.
Well, you see, this is very interesting, because in fact I think it should have been the other way around. I think that the ones that were thrown out should have been kept in, and the ones that were kept in should have been thrown out. I mean, I find it.
So Matthew's for these restrictive
hospital
admitting privileges.
I want to take it from just looking at it from a pure utilitarian standpoint. I mean, having an abortion clinic within 30 miles of a hospital, that seems reasonable enough.
Unless you live in Lubbock, where there's like nothing around.
If you live in a rural community,
which
Well, you plus the fact that even if the doctor has admitting privileges there, there's no guarantee that the doctors are going to be there. So it really serves no purpose at all, except to make Rick Perry's sister money, because she runs a company that runs ambulatory surgical centers.
She's set to
make a lot of money.
I hate to say it's not a factor, but it's entirely possible it's a factor. Let me back up in time. This is an unrelated issue. I'll try to make it quick. Do you remember when Texas Governor Rick Perry pushed hard to require Texas teens to get the HPV vaccine? Do you guys remember that?
My mother actually made me get that.
Okay, and he actually was very closely affiliated with, I think, to the point where some good friends of his were going to profit from that, where I think he was getting donations. I don't want to say kickbacks. I can't remember exactly how it was set up. But Rick Perry stood to benefit personally in some way if those did become required. And he was actually pushing for it in Texas so that it would spread to other states so that he and his friends could make more money. There is some precedent here, as much as I
you're telling me Rick Perry is a sleazeball?
I think he's just altruistic. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, there you go.
He's a worthless sleazeball politician.
I think Jordan hates money.
Here we go again. Let's talk about how great Texas is.
We're not going to top the worthless sleazeball politician.
Listen, Anna, if you have a child and your child misbehaves,
Caitlin, and you correct him,
does that mean you don't love the child? No, of course not. It means you just want them to be better. If I see that Texas has a terrible governor and I say, hey, your governor's terrible, you should get rid of him, that doesn't mean I don't love Texas. It just means I want better for Texas.
I want to list the reasons why he's terrible, though. I bet you'll give me one. Let's
do this. Let's take a little break. It'll give a couple of minutes to Jordan, not that he needs the time, to prepare a couple of reasons Rick Perry's terrible. And we'll be back on The Devil's Advocate in a couple of minutes. Thanks for joining us. Welcome back to The Devil's Advocate here on KTXT, The Raider. Hey, Anthony, can people follow us on social media?
Yes, sir. They sure can. Follow us on Twitter at TheRaider881 and on Facebook, facebook.com/TheRaider881. Welcome back to the show, everybody. We just got through, we got halfway through a little heated argument between Anna Lavis and Jordan Lejeune.
I think we were just getting started, actually, but okay.
Go ahead. Yeah, it's gonna get good.
So, Jordan, did you come up with those 10 reasons for hating Rick Perry, or are we just sitting here for a while?
10 things I hate about Rick Perry. Should be a movie.
Who needs 10 reasons? We've already mentioned twice where he sold out Texas citizens simply so he and his family can make money. What
now
else do you need?
Now a third time. I'm counting.
And
it's the same reason over and over again.
And let's be clear about this. I am from Louisiana, so I know a thing or two about bad governors. One of our former...
That's a fact.
One of our former governors has a TV show on A&E because he's 80 years old, he just got out of prison, and he just married a 35-year-old.
I was about to ask, is he still chasing young women? Because
that
was his history.
Yes, he is. I know a thing or two about bad
governors.
Tradition
in Louisiana.
And Rick Perry is a bad governor.
Okay.
Well, I think the worst thing about Rick Perry is that he went to A&M. But
yeah, I'm with you there.
Seconded.
Other than that, I mean...
And we know what those people do with sheep.
Wow. Hey now.
Wow.
Hey, is that allowed on the air?
Governor Perry. Okay.
Oh, my gosh.
So scary that I can do that. So another fact that I'll throw in, I like to share information as we come across them. The threat, this is interesting because I told you that opponents thought that 2/3 of Texas abortion clinics would close. That's actually not true. They thought that if this went into effect, as many as 1/3 of Texas's 36 abortion clinics would have closed. Now, Texas is a big state, and as we know better in West Texas than anywhere else, you can drive for a long, long time to get somewhere. But 2/3 of Texas's abortion clinics, 24 or more, would still have been open even if this measure had taken effect. And actually, there wasn't a sure thing that those hospital admitting privileges would have shut down as many clinics as they claimed.
Doesn't make a difference if it's unconstitutional, which it is.
Well, that's what the judge ruled. Exactly.
Unless there is a federal law saying that abortion and these abortion regulations are unconstitutional, I feel like, you know, states can do whatever they want, whether or not, you know, people agree with it or not. And I mean, yes, people can say it's unconstitutional, but at the same time, you know, there really isn't explicit, you know, things in the Constitution saying abortion is illegal.
As a law student, I can disagree with
you. I can't believe James Madison didn't write that in there. But luckily, our lovely new candidate for governor, Greg Abbott, has already filed the appeal to go to the appellate court. And
what is that, his 50th plea to the Supreme Court?
Yeah, and it'll probably be his 50th win.
And another one he'll lose. What I don't understand is why are we having this fight when we had it 30 some odd years ago?
1973, Roe
exactly,
versus Wade.
Roe v. Wade. We've already decided. Why do
because we're Texans. Why we don't listen to the law.
Why do Republicans like to fight things that they've already lost? Just get over it. They're the biggest bunch of sore losers I've ever seen.
Jordan's going to bring up the Free Slave Act again. That was a law that was, it's in the books. It's law. Why are you arguing?
Actually, what I'm going to bring up is the Alamo. You lost at the Alamo. Get over it.
but we ended up winning. So real quick, on the constitutionality, a number of states, Alabama, Mississippi, North Dakota, Wisconsin, say that fast, actually pushed through similar laws to try to restrict abortion access. All of those were ruled unconstitutional.
And is that really what we want to do? Do we want to be compared to Alabama? Come on.
I don't want to be compared to Wisconsin. I'd rather be Alabama or North Dakota.
Hey, they have cheese, so, you know, I like Wisconsin.
Okay, well, there you go. Anyway,
Dr. K just indirectly said he's for dating his sister.
I am the only one, apparently, who can... Okay, sorry. So again, they were all overturned, ruled as unconstitutional under Roe versus Wade. So there is a history of states trying to do this. There's also a history of states failing to do this. And so, but the reason, Jordan, in answer to your question, and Anna, I think we'll jump in and agree on this, the obvious reason why this fight continues is because a lot of people consider this is infanticide, that this is a heinous, unspeakable crime that should not stand. And another criticism, the constitutionalists don't like how this was decided. And in fact, one of the most important precedents in 1973 was that the court established new law rather than remanding this back to the lawmakers.
Which is unconstitutional.
Exactly. And so that's the problem. It's like, look, if state lawmakers rule that you can have abortions in Massachusetts, cannot have them in Mississippi, that's just fine because it's a state's decision or a legislative decision or even in Congress. The beef that a lot of people have is that the Supreme Court made the decision by caveat.
Well, here's the thing. I don't believe the Supreme Court was acting constitutionally when they decided that George Bush won the 2000 2000 election.
Oh,
but I don't. But I don't still run around with Gore 2000 bumper stickers on now, do I?
No, but two caveats on that, because I happen to live in Florida and voted absentee in that election in 2000. Both the
it's
Miami Herald investigation.
It is
both the Miami. No, all of my 63 votes were for. No, wait. The New York Times investigation and Miami Herald investigations both looked at multiple parameters, including the one Al Gore preferred, and in every case, George W. Bush won Florida.
That has nothing to do with what I just said, though.
This has nothing to do with abortion. Come on.
This has nothing. No, I just don't agree that. Do you not think the Supreme Court overstepped its bounds by simply saying we're ending the recount? George Bush won.
No, they tried three times to get the Florida Supreme Court to make the right ruling, and they kept refusing because it's a Democrat-dominated Florida Supreme Court.
Oh,
let's
Lord,
get back.
Are you kidding
let's
me
get
right
back
now?
On a less contentious
yes,
issue.
And Florida was a Pat Buchanan stronghold.
That's another story from another election, and that was also Democrats screwing up. I'll explain that one next week.
That's the same election.
The butterfly vote was because of Palm Beach Democrats. They designed and implemented the butterfly vote in the election 2 years before that one. It was Democrats' fault that Pat Buchanan did well in that.
All right, guys, this isn't a course on constitutional election. We need to move on.
Too many of us have studied
it. Though it does sort of make me want to visit Florida. So
okay, good.
Florida's nice this time of year.
I actually just took a state personality test, and it said I was Florida, and I was kind of offended.
There you go.
Hey, mine they was, have Disney World.
Mine was know, Utah, and I was not at all surprised. All right, so let's do this. Do we want to move on to some other issues, or do we want to continue on this one for a little bit longer?
You're the boss, Doctor.
Okay, let's take a little break. We'll come back, and we'll start spying on your phones. So stick around for that on the Devil's
We're good
Advocate.
At that, so.
My life like this, no tomorrow.
everybody, welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1. Anthony Hall returning for one episode only here on the Devil's Advocate with Dr.
You
K.
Say that now, but I know you'll come back.
I don't know, man. I was thinking it was kind of a tryout.
Always comes back. He's like Dracula.
Yeah, I have to re-audition, basically.
Like Dracula. Nice.
I vouch.
Nice, Caitlin.
He's always listening. He's like the NSA. Speaking of which, Dr. K.
Very good.
Great info.
Very good.
Nicely done, Matthew.
We call that a segue.
Well, go. I'm not,
oh, no,
why'd you stop?
Dr. No, K, I asked you to. All right. Well,
no, I'm not paying attention because I'm spoofing your phone right now. Done. All right. Take a look, Matthew. It's there. So I'm just saying.
All right. Fair enough. Okay, well, apparently somehow we have managed to piss off all of our allies.
Easy there, killer.
In 1 week, we have upset Spain. France, we have upset France.
Germany.
And we have upset Europe, which is Germany at this point, or the European Union, if I may be so bold. Apparently, we have been in Spain. It has been reported that we have managed to tap over. Now, let me get this number right. About 70 million phones. No,
only
wait.
70 million?
No, that was one country. Yes, that was just in France.
Oh, excuse me. That was France.
Yeah, it was just in France.
Excuse me. And
you don't want to tick off the French.
Because the other 80 million people still don't own
World War I will tell you, you do not want to tick off the
yeah,
French.
Yeah, but sort of what we were talking about beforehand here, I think the big thing that most people are upset, and the big thing which will affect us, especially internationally in our prestige, is Germany, because Germany is the economy behind the European Union.
Oh, absolutely. And they've been carrying the pigs, Greece, Italy, Ireland.
I feel
exactly
like World
right.
War II is going to come
hey,
on.
No,
you know, the U.S. and Germany, we're going to battle it out again all because of
Well, why hacking. Shouldn't we? I mean,
well,
if
first off,
if
Germany can't hold a standing military.
Let's
so,
be real right now. If
that.
We're going to live in a world where we spy on our allies and we trust no one, we might as well just start World War III, kill each other, kill everyone with nuclear bombs, and get it over with. Because what's the point of living in a world where we're in that much paranoia?
And then the dinosaurs will make their gracious return.
This becomes more Orwellian by the moment. It's like I'm waiting for the posters that say we were never at war with the terrorists. We were always at war with France and Germany and Spain. And then 2 weeks later, it'll say we were never at war with France and Germany and Spain. We're always at war with the terrorists. It's just this.
Big Brother is watching
exactly.
you.
Exactly.
And Big Brother is the president.
I'm pretty sure, yeah, I'm pretty sure the NSA is listening through your phone right now, Jordan. Just saying.
Thanks.
Well, I did call myself a terrorist a couple of weeks ago, and I haven't heard anything from them yet, so I think we're in the clear.
Yeah, but I don't know.
Say it a little bit louder.
I don't think the IRA's influence extends that far yet, Jordan, but I mean, careful. You may have a car bomb someday, but thank you, Edward Snowden, for all this. So, guys, we were talking about Edward Snowden early on. I mean, what does this make him? He's apparently just lambasted us with all this.
I can't stand him.
Well, I love him.
Okay, so, all right, well, there's a debate. Let's go.
Have at it, ladies.
All right,
Caitlin,
here we go.
Caitlin and Anna, let's go.
As you know, my criminal policy class, I can always relate it back to our lovely talk show. And so, last week, fancy this, I had a Navy intelligence officer.
Naval intelligence
sorry,
officer.
Naval. Sorry.
You're
sorry,
welcome.
Sorry. Yeah, okay. Anyway, so he comes and talks to our class.
Mutually exclusive? Okay, sorry.
And we talked about the NSA, and I completely understood why the NSA does the spying that they do. And so let me tell you why. Why is anyone even worried? If you're not doing anything.
That was a question. I'm waiting for you to tell us why.
No, yeah, I'm answering it right now. It's not right.
Go. Go.
Okay.
Go.
You're making me real nervous
the
now.
The ghost of Anthony. All right.
I'll interrupt you if you're not going to say anything.
Anyway, so the NSA does this. Why are we worried about our phone calls, our text messages, if we're not doing anything incorrectly? Because they can't. If you're doing something illegal, such as let's say you're dealing coke, and they found that, they're not going to go pursue that because they're looking for terrorist activity because it's a federal.
Jordan,
why don't we let the government put video cameras in our house?
But Jordan, if it would have stopped 9/11 terrorist attacks, which it could have, then yeah,
Jordan, the government doesn't have a camera in your house.
We already could have stopped 9/11 with the techniques we were using at that time. You know, Bush got a little memo on his desk about a month before 9/11 that said Al-Qaeda determined to strike inside the U.S. It mentioned that they were looking into flying planes in the building. Bush didn't do anything about it. So we didn't need the NSA to stop 9/11. We needed a competent president.
Jordan, I know it's usually you and Anna, but let me take this one personally because I have a personal stake in this. Anna, when when I graduate from college, I actually myself want to be a naval intelligence officer, and that is how it's pronounced. So, and I don't
no wonder
think,
he went there.
And I don't think that being a naval intelligence officer or joining the NSA, I don't think that all of a sudden takes away a person's sense of ethical and moral responsibility, which is what this is essentially. Especially getting back on topic, which is spying on our allies who are currently our greatest supporters right now. This has weakened everything about United States prestige and whatnot. So maybe we can even. Maybe if I was feeling in a good mood, I can make I could agree with you about spying on our own citizens, which I'm not. But spying on foreign citizens is a violation of a nation's sovereignty, a nation's legitimacy, and just everything else. A nation, an alliance, essentially. That's like if I would decide to tap Jordan's phone all of a sudden over there, which he is on, by the way, and look at what he's looking at. Which, by the way, I'm pretty sure it is something pro-Democrat.
Probably something illegal.
IRA so related. Yes.
So let me back up, talk a little about the actual program. Started in there are allegations from some obscure news sources. Maybe you've heard of them, the Bild newspaper, Los Angeles Times, Wall Street Journal. And they've said that there's clear evidence that the president knew about this. If I say the president was tapping Angela Merkel, does that sound wrong?
Yes, it sounds awful.
Okay, sorry.
That's why you should repeat it.
Well, President Bush tapped her first. So it started in 2002.
What angers me the most, when you go and you work for an agency like NSA, you go in there knowing that you are
going to be a bad human being.
No, that you are going to be a part of a small group, a very small group of people that are doing things that enable the safety of our country. So Edward Snowden, when you do things like this, you open a whole can of worms.
So you really think tapping the phones of, 70 million French people.
Tap my phones, read my emails. I don't know why we think we deserve all this privacy.
Because you're behaving.
Because of a little thing called the Constitution.
And well, I don't know why the French would think
selectively ignore other sections of it, Jordan. Why not the First Amendment?
Well, yeah. I'm a journalist,
So you have no privacy.
No, like I believe in, I have an unbiased view, I feel like, coming towards this. It's true that he did break his contract. He did, technically do something illegal, but I feel that it's all in the public interest. People deserve the right to know that, hey, your phones are being tapped, and keeping this a secret, especially from our allies, that's a big deal. We could have just mentioned in one of our UN summit meetings, hey, we're tapping your phones, just letting you know, hey. But I mean, we didn't. And I feel that it is important for the public to know that this is happening. I'm perfectly fine if they wanted to go through my phone and, make sure I'm not a terrorist, but just let me know about it.
Which you bring up actually an excellent point, by the way. This wasn't on the script, guys, but do you know who is the one person who's big in Europe who has not complained about this? I'll give you a hint. It's our biggest ally, and that is Great Britain. They've actually... I was reading an article recently on...
Well, they're too busy oppressing Northern Ireland.
He just really hates the Brits,
Yeah, I was
too busy sharing the intelligence.
That's actually a point. I was reading an article recently, and you guys are going to laugh. I was reading this article from the, Russian Times, and they were criticizing how Great Britain in this thing, their prime minister, when asked about it, he refused to comment on it. So it's very interesting looking at that. It seems like there seems to be an agreement between the United States and Great Britain to sort of spy on the rest of Europe, which Great Britain has been threatened to get kicked out of the European Union multiple times because of this alliance.
But remember that, Britain's not a stranger to spying on people's phones. Well, not the government exactly, but the Sun, they were known for tapping into celebrities' phones to get information, which, I consider that the dark side of journalism.
Well,
I'm not for that at all.
That's Fleet Street, not the government, but still.
I mean, they're no stranger to wiretapping controversy.
I don't even understand why this issue has so much debate, because to me, in my non-religious moral code, it's very simple for me to realize that I don't want my government doing anything to other people that I wouldn't want their government doing to us. I would not be okay if the German government was tapping my phone
or was tapping
President Obama's phone. So why is it okay for us to do it? Wait, it's not. It's simply it's not.
Because we're America, son, and if America. No one else wants to do it, we need to do it.
Guys, let me just make a quick
shot
here.
We do.
Excuse me, sir. Keep going.
No, keep
So you really think the French are going to, you know, blow us up, or the Germans?
Hey, you never
know.
What
the NSA does is they have this mass amount of information, and they search for the things that a terrorist might be. I mean, yes, of course terrorists can be in France. Of course they can be on our soil. We're looking for cues. And then we funnel that out, and then, yeah, that's when we start to really zone in on those people.
When you leave Naive Land, come talk to me.
Well, I think that a big thing, I don't know how to pronounce her, Angela Merkel. You know,
hard G.
It's German. Obama knew that her phone was being tapped since 2010.
So say it right.
You know, that's been 3 years that the government that President Obama has known that her phone is being tapped. She didn't know about this. I mean,
well, actually, Gerhard Schroeder's phone was tapped starting in 2002. Her predecessor. Maybe he handed over the same old phone, and that's why it's still tapped.
So I agree. I agree with. Sorry, I forgot your name for a second. Jordan.
George.
Yeah, I keep remembering when you switched your name. Sorry. I'm really bad at names and faces. I swear, I'm really awful.
But it's so
I can barely remember my own name sometimes. But anyway, I agree with him. And the point that if we don't want them to tap our phones, we shouldn't be doing the same to them, especially not letting them know about it. You know, I wouldn't want to do it to my friends, be like, hey, I'm tapping your phone. I wouldn't want them to do that to me, you know.
So as long as we do it in secret, that's fine.
And Jordan, to answer your question from before, you know who we'd be okay with tapping our phone? Israel. There's my anti-Israel comment for the day.
They have kangaroos. We'll be okay with that.
Wait, I just got a text from the Mossad saying, get away from Matthew Riley's phone. I'm out of here. Let's take another break. We'll come back in a couple of minutes to the devil's advocate.
Oof. Oh, I managed to get...
Leave me be. Take out everything in my soul.
break and Paris Noon still sucks.
Nuh-uh.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on Kate. Shut up! That's what I thought.
Hey.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocate on KTXT, the Raider 88.1 FM.
I'm going to remind the ghost of Anthony Hall that this show ends with the Exorcist theme. I'm just saying. So you behave in there.
Speaking about the Exorcist theme, during the... Oof. What's that?
Oh, no.
It's not the end
happening.
Of the show. It's just coming to get Anthony. Sorry.
Hey, let's confuse the listeners. That always works well.
Speaking about the Exorcist theme, during the break, I seem to have gotten a couple of nasty calls from the Israeli lobby, also known as the New York Times. Apparently, I'm not allowed to run for president anymore because I said anti-Israeli things. So thank you, Israel.
You can run, but good luck with that.
Oh, no, I can't even run at this point. I won't even. Goodness gracious.
Well, you do need like lots of money. Are you a millionaire? Do you have a plane?
Matthew's pretty loaded. He knows some people.
Absolutely. Well, I know who's getting jumped after this.
yeah, by the IDF, the Israeli Destruction Force.
So I have a question. Our NSA was able to grab 70 million messages, data points, whatever, from the French in single month. From basically over Christmas. And that's, of course, when people talk terrorism. So from December 10th to January 8th, something like that. I wonder how many the Mossad can grab over that same period of time. I'll bet they can easily outperform the NSA. What do you think?
When they have our backing, of course.
Mossad's probably reading our minds.
Well, I actually
kind of
want to see another government try to tap our phones, just so that, you know, the government can be like, hey, you can't do that, because, I don't know, I just feel like...
They probably are, but they just don't have any Edward Snowden.
Yeah. It would be an interesting conversation.
We would drop an atomic bomb on them.
Exactly. So why is it okay for us to do the same to them? Well, because we're America? Because
we're America.
America.
Yeah, Caitlin, well done. America.
I'll drive my NASCAR and I'll spy on your government. America.
And don't be hating on NASCAR. Don't go there.
I actually enjoy NASCAR. So.
Do you really?
I do. I love
like
NASCAR.
Cars that turn both ways. That's just me.
I agree with that statement.
Yikes, that's not a very Christian thing of you. It's not a very Christian thing of you to say that you like things that go both ways.
Oh, hey now.
Wow.
Plus not liking NASCAR. Either one of those could get me thrown off Broadway. You're right, but anyway. No, that's a good point. So I wonder if we should move on to a lightning round.
Dun, dun, dun.
What do you think?
The lightning
round. Should we do
that?
What's that hound eye?
There we go.
I still got it.
Nicely done, Jorge and Anthony. So a little fun. We have some interesting topics this week in the lightning round. Who likes the really big story? You know what I'm talking about? You guys like the big story?
Oh, yeah.
And it's funny because it's a doubly big story.
It's massive.
Yeah. Surprise. What's the big story?
It's two times the big story. A big-time governor. Can I say that? Chris Christie? Big-time governor?
He's fat.
Okay. I was trying to be polite. It's like in my
fat,
students.
Fat like the pH, the cool fat? Or
no, he's fat. Like
no, he's
just regular fat.
He's like, just, yeah.
Like not fat Al, but
cool.
Fat.
He got an important endorsement. Who has an opinion about this, one way or the other? I'll argue against any of you.
I don't see why a bunch of like sports people all of a sudden decide that they are going to get into politics.
So let's let Caitlin be skeptical about this one. Anybody think this is a good idea?
Anything,
I think it's great.
Anything that gets Shaquille O'Neal off of TNT's NBA coverage, because as great a basketball player as he was, probably the greatest center of all time, he is awful as a pundit.
Okay,
my television.
You got Dennis Rodman going to North Korea. You got Shaquille O'Neal supporting Chris Christie. And I mean, it's just like, I don't know. When did like sports endorsements become big for politicians? Why do they want to be ambassadors?
If you didn't catch it, Shaquille O'Neal has endorsed Chris Christie heading toward the presidential election.
Well, Caitlin, you're forgetting a couple of things. A professional wrestler became a governor.
Actually, the New Jersey
Arnold
governor re-election race. But go ahead.
Kango.
Yeah. So, and Ronald Reagan was a movie star.
Do not talk bad about St. Reagan.
Exactly.
So
there
is precedent.
We'll talk about him again
in
a second. He's
but
on
still,
one of the other
is
lines.
Is Shaquille O'Neal planning on running for president? I mean, like, I don't know.
Would you be surprised?
I think he'd get some
I think
buttons.
The Republican Party will take any African-American endorsements we can get at this
oof,
point.
Oof. I think that's a legitimate point, Anna.
Yeah, I think he has to turn in his black card after this.
Wow.
Easy there.
You know, Chris Christie's not that bad, though. If you're going to endorse a Republican, Chris Christie is the way to go.
The other argument is if you're a multimillionaire, you sort of own your own brand. And that's basically Shaquille O'Neal is self-employed as Shaquille O'Neal. It probably drives him into the Republican camp. Maybe not politically conservative, but he sure likes to keep his money and not give it to taxpayers. I mean, not give it to the government.
So
that's a possibility.
Okay, so what's next?
I'm just going to shake my head. Just
Anthony's already done with this topic.
Yeah, I'm done.
He's
okay. That's okay. We'll abandon that one. I want to talk about one that just really has me hacked off. This one just annoys me. Big New York Times article, they talked to a bunch of eggheads, a bunch of academics, a bunch of idiots with
nerds.
PhDs. You mean, have you met people with PhDs?
Wait, wait.
They're morons.
That's what I was going to say. You mean they talk to people like you? I'm the only one here with multiple degrees.
Hey, good. He's been paying
I'm
attention.
There.
I like that. I'm just saying, they go and talk to academics. And remember, I went back and became an academic after 25 years out in the world. So that largely influences my experience.
So what you're saying is you failed in the real world.
Exactly. Yeah, if you can't do after 25 years in major markets as a manager, then go teach. Exactly. Right. So what happened is these economists came out and they did an article in the New York Times about inflation is good. We need higher prices. We need a steeper increase in prices. We need 6% annual inflation.
You're kidding,
and I was screaming
right?
at my newspaper, thank you, Anthony. I'm like, do you guys remember the 1970s? My God, inflation was through the roof. Interest rates were 20%. People couldn't buy houses, couldn't
poverty
buy cars, couldn't
was
buy
at an
food,
all-time high.
Couldn't buy gas. It was insane. It was like inflation was completely out of control. And yes, it took St. Reagan. It wasn't St. Reagan. It took a good economy to rescue the country from. And buried like 13 paragraphs deep in this screed in the New York Times are some reasonable people saying, hey, maybe inflation isn't so good. I'm like, are you people out of your mind? What is that?
This just seems like people are coping. We're in such a bad economic state right now. We're becoming cynical with our situation. We're kind of like, oh, guys, it's okay. It's all right. Inflation isn't that bad. Trying to find the good side of it because we can't fix this economy.
And I'll tell you, as a journalist, and maybe Caitlin has an opinion on this, but the other side of this coin is...
Sorry, as a journalist, Caitlin doesn't have opinions. Am I right?
Oh, well done. Nicely done, Anthony. Anyway, during the Bush administration, if there was a tiny economic indicator, ooh, we only created 280,000 jobs. Ooh, the economy stinks. It's because of Bush. But under this president, it's like, oh, no, every little indicator is viewed as outstanding. And it's like, it's not this president's fault. We need higher inflation. That's what it feels like to me.
Yeah. Go, Jordan. Go, Jordan.
You've just blown my mind in the worst way possible.
I love that.
You do remember the fact that Bush inherited a surplus and inherited job growth. And so that when he only created 280,000 jobs, it was a problem because he had such a robust economy coming in. He ruined it so much that anything we can get now is a positive.
And I'm going to do what Jordan never does, which is I'm going to concede a point. There's some validity to that. And in fact, I was annoyed when he created the TSA, this big new, out of time, when he created this big new federal... basically this huge unionized expense at the federal level.
You're out of time.
W did it and I was furious.
Hey, our government is going to have a surplus. I figured that out just the other day. We'll see what they do with it.
Okay. Big story. Should we do Elizabeth Warren or should we do McDonald's?
Wait a minute. What party?
I'm always for McDonald's.
What party is in the White House right now? Somebody want to answer that? What party's in the White House right now?
It's the spy party.
What party is in the White House right now?
It's the Democrats.
Boom.
Okay, nicely done.
I rest my case.
Okay, so what do we want to talk about? Do you like Elizabeth Warren or do you like... There's only time for one more. Let's do McDonald's.
Let's talk about
I'm
McDonald's.
I'm down with McDonald's.
I love that. Have you
Give
guys
me
heard
the
about
DL of McDonald's.
No, this is absolutely scandalous. Oh. I'm going to say this in duck because this is huge. McDonald's will no longer be serving Heinz ketchup.
No!
See what I'm saying?
It's all because they don't support John Kerry.
I was just about to say that. Well done.
Heinz ketchup is amazing. It's the go-to ketchup.
The world's best french fries just got worse.
I don't know. I like Del Monte a little bit. Cheapest.
Oh, gosh. Ooh, get out.
You are Republican, aren't you?
I'm totally kidding. The Whataburger
Well, ketchup is red.
All ketchup tastes the same to me.
Well, so what's funny is a couple of insights. Anybody curious why McDonald's is stopping serving
I'm sure it's
ketchup?
Money.
Why?
Political reasons.
Does it have something to do with Obamacare?
No,
because
actually,
even if
it's
it doesn't,
the one thing that doesn't.
Even if it doesn't, Republicans will say it does.
Does it have something to do with Israel?
Does it have something to do with obesity?
Actually, all great guesses,
what
but
about
no.
Matt King?
No, it actually has to do with the company that owns Burger King just inked a deal with Heinz. And so that's one of the reasons that they're stopping. But I didn't know this. I found out just from trivia in the article. Most fast food restaurants quit serving Heinz ketchup a long time ago, again, to save money. So it was kind of interesting.
Really?
Whatever. Yeah.
Well, it is
I'm
the go-to ketchup.
We didn't know.
Yeah. Nope. Now I'm pretty sure it's because of fat Israeli people searching for healthcare.
Wow.
Who are possibly
They're
Republican. Shout
people?
Out to you, Jordan.
I just don't use ketchup. I just use barbecue sauce. I cut right
barbecue
to the chase.
Barbecue sauce.
And get
you've been in Texas
like
too long.
Like a real Texan.
Exactly.
Guys,
like a real
guys,
Texan.
You need to... Why don't you just... Why don't you just cut it out and switch to mustard? Zero calories.
Or, you know, go to Wendy's and, you know, stick your fries in a frosty.
Nicely done.
Well, what we do in Louisiana is we take ketchup, mustard, and mayo. We mix it all together, throw in a little Tony. Throw in a little Tony.
Thank you.
Don't knock it till you try it. It's delicious.
Pink some alligator on the side. Alligator burgers, you know.
Alligator is the best meat you will ever eat.
Fries in a frosty.
Got some possum,
Jordan, does it taste like chicken?
No, it doesn't taste anything.
Are you sure?
Alligator leaves chicken in its dust.
Yeah,
Alligator is the greatest meat you'll ever
eat. I not only like gator, but it's fun to remind yourself that you're higher on the food chain.
Meat, more like, I don't know, just...
All right, we're out of time, thank God, on McDonald's and ketchup. So we were off in the bayous of Louisiana. Let's do this.
Nothing wrong with that.
We're going to have a little fun with somebody else having a little fun. You guys all know about the problems with healthcare.gov and how the government is wrestling with resolving some of those issues. Kathleen Sebelius was nice enough to come sit down with us and talk about this. So let's hear what Kathleen Sebelius has to say.
And I missed this?
About
you guys left me out?
Yeah, this was pretty fun.
Raw Politics tonight, the Texas State Senator that everyone is talking about, Wendy Davis, a Democrat, took a stand against a bill restricting abortions in the state. She took a stand and remained standing, talking for nearly 11 hours.
Is this the right one?
Okay, that was actually not Kathleen.
Just kidding.
So
we got to hear the first bars of Let It Be again. There's
Blooper
nothing wrong.
That's
with
why
it.
We're putting it into that. That's enough of that. That Beatles crap. No, yeah. So we probably play that here on the radio station.
Jordan I'm was thinking, beginning to jam to it.
I'm thinking we're not going to have that, but that's okay because it's going to be funny next week too. So we'll sit on
so that.
And play
that means
it
you'll have
time.
To come back for it.
And actually, Kathleen Sebelius was spoofed on Saturday Night Live. We have a little fun with it. So should we talk real quick about student loans and Elizabeth Warren?
Go God. For it.
I love
no.
Elizabeth
no?
Warren.
There's one woman I can't stand.
Maybe save it for next time.
That's why we should talk about it. Okay, we'll save it for next time.
Okay,
that's
so the tease
really
for next
one,
week
so.
Is you're going to hear Kathleen Sebelius from SNL.
Yes, exactly. And we'll talk a little about Elizabeth Warren, our favorite lawmaker, the senator from Massachusetts.
Boop, boop, boop.
Yeah, that was kind of fun. And actually, the issue is, and here's another good tease, you'll want to pay attention, it's about student loans. By the way, did you guys know student loan debt surpassed credit card debt about 2 years ago as the largest area of consumer debt? So.
Trust me. As an alumnus of this university.
It's up over $3 billion now, student loan
I
debt.
I am owing a ton of money
okay, well, student,
in student loans.
Kathleen Sebelius, Elizabeth Warren, wants to make it easier for you, Anthony, to just walk away from your responsibilities.
Yes. Okay.
I love doing that.
Yeah. Anna,
the great American spirit.
Thank
walk
you.
Away from all your
children. Well, guys, yeah. doesn't this
let me abandon
this
my
seem,
responsibilities.
Doesn't yeah. this seem similar to the 2008 housing crisis? You have people who are going to default on their payments and going to cause us another economic crisis. Mark my words, college students are
going to
be the cause.
I am going to default on my student loan payments.
Exactly. There we go. We've got another economic
Say
crisis.
Say that
on
with
our
pride.
I am.
I will default on my
As
loans.
A journalist, I wow. will default on my student
I'll
loans.
I'll be living in a box. Just gotta have It'll no be the best option. Box ever.
Well, I love how Jordan will do it just on principle. It's like, I'm a Democrat. I just will. So.
That's what we do.
Yeah, nice.
Oh, no. I hear the music. That means I'm being sucked away.
This time it's
Into
official.
Your awesome black hole vortex Twilight Zone thing.
Why doesn't the ghost of Anthony Hall end
No.
the show?
No. Thanks for joining us on KTXT, the radio 88.1. Make sure you follow us more, and we'll be back next week, Wednesday at 5, here on KTXT, the Raider 88.1.